1:24. I'm going to be reading the entire psalm, and then we'll pray. Psalm 1:24. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us and the waters would have overwhelmed us, the stream would have gone over our soul, then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for mercy anew every day, that you do not leave us to our own ways. For those who are in Christ, you are on our side, and we have no other need for help than you. I pray today, Lord, as we hear your word, these thoughts, these promises would sink deep into our hearts, that we might be grasped by them, that we might be absorbed in them. Lord, that you might use it in our lives as we walk and walk away from this place today, confident in who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we reflect back upon the men and women, peoples of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and even our church history that we have, we would not find days, there would be a few days, but we would not find days in which we could say that they always had days filled with sunshine. They were not sitting around amongst flower gardens all the time and everything was rosy. They were not on beds of ease. In fact, when we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even church history, we find that they experienced difficult days. They had times of serious conflict. They had times of opposition from this world and the things of this world. I'm reminded of what we find in that hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of our fathers, living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. They struggled. They also were imprisoned. They also had dungeons and fire and sword. Well, we too are in a conflict. Just turn on the news. There's a conflict all around us. Listen to the podcast out there. It's amazing to me as I hear what is going on in our world today. And it's not just here locally. It's not just the conflict that's happening just in our region. It's a conflict that's happening worldwide. It just seems like that things are coming apart. Conflict after conflict. All over the world, the enemies of our Savior are hurting our brothers and sisters in Christ. Persecution abounds. Prisons are being filled. Persecution is coming. But there's also not only that, there's a falling away. An apostasy, a renouncing of Christ. I heard of another one this week. People falling away. People who have been so faithful all their lives to Christ, and they're saying that I'm no longer a Christian. I don't believe in Christ anymore. Well, King David, the author of this passage before us, faced many enemies himself almost all of his life. It began as a very early age whenever he had to encounter He had to encounter lions he had to fight against. And he encountered other types of animals. He tried to protect his father's sheep. But then as a young man of only 15 years old, he encountered a giant whose name was Goliath. And Goliath was 9.5 feet tall. And David was 15 years old. And I'm assuming he wasn't as tall as what our normal 15 years old guys are today. Some of them can get quite tall, not 9 feet. But here was this giant in full armor, arrayed. He had protection upon his shins. He had protection around his waist. He had armor, breastplates upon him. He was a man who could handle this armor. He had a spear that was so heavy it was like a weaver's beam. He had a sword that was a giant sword. He had a helmet on. And here was someone who was coming to face David. And David, this little old boy, took off Saul's armor. He couldn't handle it. And he went there as a boy, a 15-year-old boy, and all he had was a sling and a few rocks. The statistics alone would say that David should not have won that battle that day. He should have been killed that day. He faced that opposition. And then he faced the man that he thought would protect him, King Saul, who did protect him much of his life. But as King Saul found out more about David, he became jealous of David. And at points he tried to kill David. Even by throwing it twice, he threw a spear at him to pin him against the wall. He even got onto his son, Jonathan, for plotting against Saul. And he chased David all over Israel. He had enemies about him, David did. And then whenever David became king, you would think that things would go better. His own son, Absalom, rebelled against him and sought to take over as king himself. And he sought to turn his own David's own army and his own people against him. And David fled. Here is Saul against David. David should not have survived that. Here is Absalom and all of his army and what was David's army against David and his few men who went with him. David should not have survived that. But that's not to even exclude the Amalekites, the Philistines, the Ziphites, the Moabites, all David's enemies who fought against him and chased him all over Israel. David only having the small band of soldiers that he had. An impossibility. And yet David survived. How was David able to make it through these hard and difficult times? How was he able to defeat these enemies when the odds were not in his favor? How did he battle the fears of his own heart? How did he not lose heart? How did he face his foes and not turn and run? Where did his strength come from? Well, I think in reading this, we need to remember that there is an answer here in this psalm of where his strength came from and how he faced these battles. And there is help for us as we struggle through the hard and difficult times that we face. Is there anything that we might learn from the pen of David here? Does God have a message for you and me in these verses? I think so. Well, I want to tell you that we need to be assured that David would have failed. He would have been defeated except for one thing. One thing that we have in this verse. He would have despaired except for this one thing. He would have lost the battle except for this one thing. And apart from this one pivotal, colossal fact that he has in this contained in this verse, everything would have gone the other way. What is that one thing? It is, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That's the answer. I want us to think about this today. I want us to look at this psalm, and it's broken into two parts. And the first part is what I call a remembrance of God's mercy. And the second part is a blessing for God's mercy. Let's look at the first part of what he says here in the first few verses, number 1 through 5. A remembrance of God's mercy. Notice what he says first. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Here we have a consideration of what we should do. Here we have something that tells us to stop and think. It doesn't say to stop and think. It doesn't say remembering this verse. But it has the idea for us to stop and think. It is a psalm of ascent. And on the psalms of ascent, what were they used for? They were the psalms that they sang to one another as they were going to the feast days all the way up to Jerusalem. They would sing these psalms to one another, reminding one another, preparing themselves to worship the Holy God. And they're reminding one another of things. And in this psalm, we have this idea, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That means they've got to think back, don't they? I've got to think back about what happened in the past. I've got to remember something. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side back then, what would have happened? When these things happen. Think back. It is repeated here for us. And it's actually done in such a way as the song I said, okay guys, we're going to sing this psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Repeat after me. Let's think of it. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It's that idea. Let's think about it. Have you pondered? Have you ever thought and stopped and thought about this? What it would be like without God on your side? Where would you find your help? Oh yeah, we can do all these kind of things, can't we? We can go to work. We can do this. We can do that. But really, can we? Have we stopped to think, if God were not in our lives, how would it be different? How could you have any hope to not be taken over by your enemies? How could you have any hope over your own sin? How could you really do this? How could you stand against the devil if the Lord was not on your side? He is that proud and powerful angel. He's not a god, no. But he's the prince of the power of the air. He's a roaring lion. He's a cunning fox. He's full of deceit and slander and lies. He seeks to thwart the truth. He tells us lies all the time. How can you stand against the devil if the Lord is not on your side? He tries with his cunning to make it seem as if he's an angel of light, though he is the epitome of what it means to be the angel of darkness. He's the seducer who makes even the evil things sound good. He is a sworn enemy of God and seeks to destroy and remove all knowledge of God from the earth and from your minds. He's a sworn enemy of all those who are true Christians. And he wants to destroy them and use them, use us to try to destroy and defame the name of God. Could you really stand against him on your own? Could you stand against the world? Could you stand against the value system of the fallen creation? Could you fight it every day? Could you fight against the world? Would you not cave in and conform to the world if the Lord were not on your side? Oh, don't forget about the flesh. Could you stand against your own flesh? Could you resist the temptations that are flying at you every moment of every day? Could you fight the sin in your heart? What power do you have in yourself to change yourself? But also, could you stand against the enemies of God if the Lord is not on your side? He says here, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, how would the battle really go, my friends? Would you give in and compromise unless the Lord sustained you? You see, we are dependent upon God for everything. How did men of old stand up? How did Jeremiah stand against the false prophets and the kings of Judah who threw him in the pit? How did he stand? How did he endure? How did Elijah battle against Ahab and Jezebel? Was it in his own efforts? How did John the Baptist look at King Herod and say, "You're wrong"? How did Paul stand before Felix and Festus and Caesar if the Lord had not been on their side? There's two metaphors that are used here in this passage that are really good metaphors that give us a picture of what our enemies are really like sometimes. In verse 5, we're told about a wild animal as a metaphor. Our enemies, the enemies of God, are like wild animals sometimes. It says, then they would have swallowed us alive and when their wrath was kindled against us. I was recently in Africa, though the area where we were in Africa doesn't have lions in Ethiopia, that part of Ethiopia at least. But yet you've seen and I've seen pictures of wild lions and how they prey upon their enemies, and all of a sudden they come in, and whenever they come in, they knock them down and wipe them out and just tear them all to pieces. It's a picture there of what our enemies can be like. We'll just be going along one day and everything's fine, and all of a sudden, wham, our enemies tear us apart. Malicious with rage like a roaring lion. And we may actually have enemies that are like this. And we don't even know it and see it. And all of a sudden they're upon us. Where is our help going to be? Well, there's a second metaphor here. And it's the metaphor of water. Notice with me. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. And the streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. I was reminded of this whenever I was in Ethiopia last week when we went up north. And we saw these huge, I mean, it must have been twice the size of this room, beds of where the river had come down through the mountains. These tall, tall mountains. And all that there is a little trickle of water. I said, when does this thing fill up? They said, in May and June, the waters come roaring down here. I can imagine you standing there and there's been this huge rainstorm and all of a sudden the water comes and up through the mountains, and all of a sudden there's this wall of water, and you may be walking along a stream, and whoa, there it is, all of a sudden. Or I think of the tsunamis that we see, where someone sees the beach, the water go back down, and all of a sudden, the water comes and it swells up. That's like our enemies sometimes. Waters overwhelm us, and the streams gone over our souls, then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. If the Lord had not been upon our side, how could we survive that? Israel had enemies like this who were powerful and angry, but God delivered them. Moses before the Red Sea, an impossibility, but he walks across on dry land and the water encloses upon Pharaoh and his army. Asa faced Zerah, the Ethiopian, with over 1 million men. And he with only 300,000. And they won. Hezekiah prayed and the Assyrian army led by Sennacherib, the greatest nation upon earth at the time, died. And Sennacherib went home with his tail between his legs. David faced Goliath with one stone. How? How can that happen? How could they... The circumstances are just unimaginable. And we sit and we think that we've got it all figured out whenever our enemies are against us. And we bite our fingernails and think that God cannot help us. Have we forgotten that if the Lord's on our side, we have nothing to fear? Which brings up a really important question. Is the Lord on your side? That's a good question. Is the Lord on your side? Well, many people believe that He is because they've been born in America. Or because their parents are Christians. Or because they go to church, or they sing in the choir, they walked an aisle. Or because they've been a good person. They believe the Lord is on their side. But is this what it means to have the Lord on our side? The Scriptures are very clear that when we're born, He is not on our side. In fact, we're born in sin. And the wrath of God is upon us. And Colossians 1 says that we're alienated from Him. We're enemies against Him. God is not on everyone's side. Since the fall of man, every person born is born in sin, and this means that they are enemies against God. So how do we change that? How can it be changed that we become on the Lord's side? Because we're under condemnation, that God is angry with the wicked every day. How can we be on His side? The wrath of God abides upon us. And there's going to be a great day of wrath that's going to come. And no one is going to be able to stand against it. Do we think we have any chance to succeed against God who made this world out of nothing? Do we think that we can stand against the God who parted the Red Sea? Do we think that God will just look over our sin because we believe that we're a good person, we deserve to be in heaven and forgiven? How do we get the Lord on our side? Well, I can tell you, it is not by your works or your earning it. It is by the mercy and grace of God. It's not earned by anything you do or could do, because you cannot pay the penalty for sin. The only hope that you have is for someone else to pay the penalty. And that's the good news. We know this, but you need to hear it again. I need to hear it again. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. He made a payment for our sins. He went to the cross, something we could not do. And He, because of what He has done upon the cross, offers to us an opportunity to freely believe and trust in Him that He did pay for our sins. And we can have that. And the Scripture says that when we believe and trust in Him, that we move from being an enemy of God to not only being His friend, but being a part of His family. We're adopted into His family. And we're righteous. There's no wrath. There's no condemnation upon us. We're His children. And we have precious promises given to us. And this doesn't mean there's not going to be any conflict. Does that mean that men will not die and be martyred? Does that mean our enemies are always... that? They're not going to overcome us sometimes. But the thing that we need to remember is, if we're on the Lord's side, we're in safe hands. And He's doing what's right. Can you imagine what it would be like if He were not on our side? It's an important question to ask. Is the Lord on your side? So, the first point I wanted to bring to you is this. We need to remember and think about God's mercy, that He is on our side. The second part here of this psalm, I believe, is a blessing for God's mercy. Notice in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Here's a blessing to the Lord for what He has done. We are completely dependent upon His grace. We don't deserve anything He gives to us. We can bless Him for what He has done. You know, He could have let us be snared by the enemy. He could have caused us to be eaten by as prey. He had every right to do so, and still does have every right, but He doesn't. Very often He allows us to escape. We must remember that everything that God does, even when we don't escape, is for us by grace. And this makes all the difference in the world. He does do what's best for us. Even, this is where we can't interpret into what God's doing. You know, enemies can be sneaky and deceptive and conniving. They can set traps for us, just like the birds in the ancient world, nets and snares. And snares sometimes break, and God sometimes even allows us to escape from our enemies. Just like David escaped twice from Saul while Saul was sleeping. And we need to ponder on how many times God has allowed you to escape a difficult situation. You don't even know, do you? You don't even realize how often God has allowed you to escape. But He does, because He cares and loves us. How many times have you even prayed and asked for mercy and He answered your prayers and you saw it? Should we get discouraged whenever we don't see those prayers answered the way that we want? Notice at the last part of this psalm, says this: our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Have you pondered that? That your help is not in just a God who's caring and He's loving and He's done this for you. Our help is in the One who has made everything. Have you pondered that fact? That before there was anything except for God, that God made everything? Everything you see with His very words, and that's the same God who is our help? Have you pondered how large the universe really is that He has made? Have you pondered how vast it is? And God is bigger than that? And this is the One who is on our side? And yet we pray these weak prayers and say, well, God, if You can, please do this. Have you pondered that this is the God who is on your side? Well, as we've looked at this psalm, and I'm going to be quite short today, I think, but as we've looked at this psalm, I hope, as we looked at this psalm, we've seen two things. There's been a remembrance of God's mercy. We even need to remember God's mercy. We need to ponder it, how He is on our side. But secondly, we need to learn to bless the Lord for His mercy. His mercy towards us. So what application can we have today? There's several things. One, if God is on your side, then you're in bad shape, my friend. If He is not on your side, if you are His enemy, you have much to fear. And you may say, I don't care. You know, this religion stuff, this God stuff. I'm just going to do my own thing and maybe one day I'll think about God. My friend, it is not something that you need to escape from. You need to realize that we are either in one or two camps. You need to repent and to believe and flee to the Savior, Christ Jesus. Secondly, I want to encourage us all to stop and to contemplate the past and how God has helped you. Remember how God saved His people in the Old and New Testaments. Remember how God has spared you so many times from your own enemies, the ones that you know about. Let your mind be changed. Follow what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and let your mind be conformed to His image. Begin to think about how God has done great things for you. And don't forget about what He has done. Don't be short-sighted. And how short-sighted we can be. Here's a problem. And we all of a sudden sink down in the hole, don't we? There's no hope. what happened? There is hope. Think about what God's already done for you. Somehow we forget how that God has helped us and we don't contemplate God's mercy. Thirdly, it is an act of faith to bless the Lord in the midst of your conflict. And what do we usually do? We complain. I didn't get this. Things are not working out right. I mean, I've even done it today. People say, how are you doing? I'm tired. Why am I complaining? Why cannot it be? Well, bless the Lord. He's on my side. Fourthly, remember who God is, the maker of heaven and earth, and He is the one who will help. He is our only help. Remember that. Fifthly, remember that everything you have is by grace. You don't deserve anything. It's by grace and grace alone. And sixthly, remember the mercy of God towards His children, even when we sin, my friends. Remember that the God who is on our side is the one who loved us before. He was the one who loved us while we were yet sinners. He is the one who reached down to us. He is the one who loved us with that everlasting love before the world even began. Remember the love of God towards His children, who sought us, who sent Christ to die for our sins, and who draws us near unto Him. Think about His mercy upon us. Well, I pray that this has been helpful this afternoon to review and to think. I'm moved, my friends. I'm moved by these first words. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I pray that as we go out today, that you will be thinking about these things and contemplating the mercy of God towards you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for mercy. Thank you for the attention of the people this afternoon. Thank you for how that you have not been our enemy, that you reconciled us to you. Thank you for how that you sent Christ Jesus our Lord, who has done so much for us. May we bathe in this. May we be swallowed up in the sea of your love. May it be for your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.